you, Rabbi.
And I'm also going to broadcast this on Facebook. Some other people will be able to pick it up if they so desire. Okay, Sari, I think we're going to start with you sharing some words, so I think we should begin.
Well, I guess I don't know what to say. Scott and I decided this year that we wanted to sponsor a shir on a mitzvah that was very important to Zev. And so we asked the rabbi to do a shir on the mitzvah of tzedakah, since that was a mitzvah that Zev observed really, really scrupulously. And most of you know he had autism, but he was also very, very bright. And this was just something that was very important to him. And he did things like, you know, I've written about how, you know, we encouraged our children to give a little tzedakah daily. You know, they would 10% of their allowance in any gifts. And he would wait till the evening instead of doing it in the morning to be sure he fulfilled the mitzvah. He would do it at night. And I asked him once, why don't you just do it in the morning so you know you've done it? And he said, well, he was very obsessed with finding loose change on the ground, anyone who knew him. You know, if he saw something on the ground, he would pick it up. So he wanted to be sure he tallied everything that he found during the day, then deducted 10% and put it in the pushka. So he gave at night to be sure he gave the full amount every day. So things like that, or, you know, giving up, you know, he saw that there was a need for something at the shul, so he purchased an honor on Simchas Torah. He participated in an auction. He basically donated all the money he'd been saving for a toy that he was looking to buy. So that's, he was very generous because he really didn't think about so much about just himself, but he understood that, you know, it's important to share what you have. So that's why we chose to do this. So it's all yours, Rabbi. Can't hear you though. Can't hear you.
How about now?
Yes.
Okay, great. So thank you, Sari, and thank you, Scott, for sponsoring this shiur in memory of your son, Zev. This is a beautiful way to honor his memory. And I have three goals in this shiur. It's a beautiful topic that you both chose, and I really appreciated the opportunity to delve into this topic deeply to prepare for this shiur. And so I have three goals for the shiur. One is that the shiur should serve as a zechut to Zev's neshama, that in the merit of our learning together, his neshama should have an aliyah, and his he should rest, continue to rest in peace. The second goal is for us to learn about this mitzvah of tzedakah. And the third is hopefully through learning this mitzvah of tzedakah, we'll become more connected to it, and through a better understanding of it, we'll become more committed to the mitzvah of tzedakah, which would be the ultimate way, I think, to honor Zev's memory. We just heard that he was committed to this mitzvah. And so if we become more committed to this mitzvah, then that is a real that will be in his zuchut, in his merit. So there are a number of different topics that I want to touch on in terms of the mitzvah of tzedakah. Let's begin just in the Torah with the sources of this. And if anyone has any questions, you're welcome to use the raise your hand function that's available to you in Zoom, or you're welcome to put something in the chat if you'd like to do that. I'll try to monitor all of these things at the same time. And I'll stop from time to time and just scan through the boxes on the Zoom screen to see if anyone, you know, is physically raising their hand. But it's definitely better to use the tools that are available through Zoom in terms of recognizing you. And just one more thing before we go on, Sari or Scott, are there any family members that you want to especially acknowledge that are on with us tonight?
Oh yeah. So I can't see everybody now, but when I last looked, my sister Alan is on, my sister Sharon is on, my sister Irene is on, my brother Mark is on, and my mother-in-law Marcia is on. And did I miss anybody? I can't see. I only see five people here on the side. So.
Well, there are, I don't know if you missed anyone, but there are 38 boxes. So it's a very lovely turnout tonight. And so I want to welcome all of Sari and Scott's family members who are here. It's wonderful to have you here to honor Zev's memory. Thank you for joining us. Okay, so the mitzvah of tzedakah, the mitzvah of charity, various commentaries find the source for this mitzvah in different psukim, in different verses of the Torah. Two of the most well-known and most often cited are from Devarim, from the book of Deuteronomy, and the book of Vayikra. So you have them here. I hope you could see the source book. Sari, can you see the source book on your screen?
I can see it. Beautiful.
Okay. Thank you. Great. So source number one, a verse from the book of Deuteronomy, two verses. Ki yebecha evyon me'achad achecha be'achad sharecha be'artzecha asher Hashem alokecha notein lach lo ta'ametz et levavcha v'lo tikpots et yadcha me'achicha evyon. If, however, there was a needy person among you, one of your kinsmen in any of your settlements in the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not harden your heart and shut your hand against your needy kinsmen. Ki, rather, patach, tiptach, and here's the commandment, patach, tiptach, et yadcha lo, v'havet ta'avitenu de machsero asher yachsar lo. Rather, you must open your hand and lend him sufficient for whatever he needs. So that's a pretty explicit explanation or exposition of the obligation to help the needy. We have another verse in the book of Vayikra. I'm sorry. Debbie is on too, Sari. I'm seeing in a...
Hi, Debbie.
Chat. Okay, just in the chat. So in Vayikra, in the book of Leviticus, I see we have a verse. This is source number three. V'chi yamuch achicha umata yado imach. If your kinsman, being in straits, comes under your authority and you hold him as though a resident alien, let him live by your side. And the Rambam and others, Maimonides and others, point to this as an obligation to help them, the chayimach, to make sure that they could live by your side. Now, one question you may be asking is why do we have more than one verse in the Torah telling us about the mitzvah of tzedakah? One seems, about the mitzvah of charity, one seems to be enough. To answer this question, we could turn to the Sefer HaMitzvot of the Rambam. Maimonides, amongst other things, wrote a book of mitzvot where he went through the Torah and counted the 613 mitzvot. Traditionally, that's the number of mitzvot in the Torah. Biblical mitzvot, 613. He counted them, and mitzvah 195 is Shetivanu la'asot tzedakah u'lechazeka chalashim u'l'harchiv aleihem. The 195th mitzvah is that we are commanded to give charity to support and relieve the poor. And without reading this whole source, the Rambam teaches us that one of the verses explicitly teaches about tzedakah, about giving alms, funds to the poor, and the other is talking about other ways to support the poor. For example, giving a loan to a poor person. That's a separate mitzvah than the mitzvah of charity, what we call charity, the mitzvah of tzedakah. And so that's why there's more than one verse in the Torah. Each verse is specific to a different type of assistance that we can give to the needy. And so that's sort of point number one. Not only is there a mitzvah of tzedakah, but there are other ways in which we are obligated to help the poor. We're going to touch on this again in a few minutes. But that's that's the first idea. It's not, our obligation to help the poor does not end or begin with the mitzvah of tzedakah. Tzedakah is one aspect of a whole menu of options, of mitzvah, of obligations that we have to help the poor. But tonight's topic is, of course, tzedakah. So let's dive into this topic. When I started researching this topic, many of you know I give a weekly shiur on Wednesday afternoons. It used to be a lunch and learn. Now it's an eat at your own house and then learn. And for many, many years, we studied the weekly portion. We studied the exegetical aspects of the Torah. And we've moved recently to the mitzvah of the week. We take one mitzvah that appears in that weekly portion, and we study it in depth. The main source for our starting point, at least in every class, is the Sefer Achinuch, which is a medieval work of Jewish law and Jewish thought. Actually, we do not know for sure. There's a big debate, but we do not know who wrote this book. But nonetheless, it is a staple of studying Jewish law. And the Sefer Achinuch counts all the mitzvot, just like I said the Rambam does. The Sefer Achinuch, which is translates into Book of Education, counts the 613 mitzvot in the order that they appear in the Torah, from the beginning of Genesis all the way to the end of Deuteronomy. And mitzvah 479 out of the 613, he talks about the mitzvah of tzedakah. And I found something really fascinating, and I'm gonna read it and then I'm gonna ask a question. This is source number 6. Sefer Achinuch, Tafayin Tet, Mitzvah 479, Mitzvah Tzedakah, the commandment of charity. Lasot Tzedakah im hatzarich aleha, to do charity with the one who needs it. And here's the point I found really, really interesting. Besimcha uvetov levav, to do charity with the one who needs it, with happiness and out of goodness of heart. Kulomar, she nitein mimamono lemi sheyachsar lo ulechazek haani, meaning to say that we give from our money to one who is lacking and to strengthen the poor in all areas that he needs for his assistance with all of our ability. When I read this, I was sort of stunned. I just sort of stopped in my tracks. And I noticed these three words in Hebrew, underlined and highlighted, besimcha uvetov levav, with happiness and out of goodness and heart. And the first thing that came to my mind was, isn't that strange? Because I'm not familiar with other mitzvot in the Torah that we are obligated to do with happiness. We are obligated to develop a personality wherein when we give tzedakah, we are happy about it. And it sounds like, and this is the really, I think, sort of radical part, is that if you give tzedakah, You give the person a donation. Two people give the same person a donation. One person gives that person a donation besimcha ubetov levav, with joy and a good open heart, they fulfill the mitzvah. Another person gives that poor person the same amount of money, but in a begrudging way, or not even a begrudging way, sort of in a neutral way, they have not fulfilled the mitzvah, it sounds like. Now, we would have thought that it's just important to get the poor person the money because that's what they need. But that doesn't seem, if you want to read the Sefer Achinuch in the most radical way, does not seem to be what the Sefer Achinuch is saying. So my question is, can you think of any other mitzvah that we're obligated to do it with, in the language of the Sefer Achinuch, the Simcha ubetov levav? I see Carol has raised her hand. I'll get you 1 second. Like a good teacher, Carol, raising your hand. Excellent, excellent. Now I know why your students were so wonderful, especially the Gelman ones. So that's the question. Are there any other mitzvot? Now I just want to caution you though, that for example, the mitzvah of Yom Tov is excluded because that mitzvah itself is to be happy. I'm not talking about where the mitzvah in and of itself, like on Shabbat, we're supposed to enjoy the Shabbat, or the mitzvah of Yom Tov, or it explicitly. I'm talking about an action that we're supposed to do, like when the Sefer Achinuch talks about the mitzvah of taking a lulav on Sukkot, which we are going to do in a few days, it does not say sheyikach et halulav b'simcha uvetov levav, or sheyeshev basukah b'simcha uvetov levav. Right. So I'm not aware of any other mitzvah. I'm going to ask you, Carol. Go ahead. Go ahead, Carol.
Well, actually, it's my computer, but Dove's the one that pushed the raise hand.
Ah, okay, Dove. Go ahead.
Well, you notice I lowered it because that's what I thought of. Samachta b'chagecha.
And you're that right. That's the mitzvah itself.
You got me.
Right.
So that, okay. That's it. I'm done.
Okay. Okay. Any other suggestions? I'm scrolling through the screen. I don't see anyone gesticulating wildly on the screen. I see Carol, is your hand up again?
No.
No. Okay. So I'm lowering Carol's hand. I don't see anyone else. I know nothing in the chat. And by the way, I'm part of this great Facebook group called Ask the Beit Midrash. So before I went to sleep last night, I posted this question. I posted this quote from the Sefer HaChinuch in the Facebook group, Ask the Beit Midrash, Ask the Jewish Study Hall. It's a virtual study hall. You know, hundreds and hundreds of users of this, members of this Facebook group. And I posed the question I just posed to you. And I said to Sam, my eldest son, before I went to sleep, I said, this is the beauty of being a rabbi in 2020. I'm going to post this question. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to wake up and there are going to be 20 answers to my question. And I'm going to sound like a genius. And you know what? Nobody answered my question because I don't think there is another example. No one of all the hundreds of people on that list, no one came up with another example, or they knew they were onto my trick and they were giving me my just desserts. But I think there is another example of this, and we're going to get to this at the end, why it's so important.
Lost your audio again.
Barry, we can't hear you. You froze.
That's because he dropped. I'm sure he'll connect back up again.
Oh, you're back, sort of.
No.
The bottom one. Well, I'm going to unmute and say hey to everybody. Oh. Hey. Hi, Marcia. And there's a couple other people not from the shul. My friend Doris, who I've known forever. Who kind of knew Zev when he was alive. And Danielle is, I think, here from Israel. And she also knew Zev.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Sorry, I think my internet must have just dropped off. Sorry about that. It's still recording, so that's good. Let me get the screen back up. So we'll continue sharing the screen. And we'll get started again.
You're on, Bear.
So sorry about that. I'll get everyone back into the waiting room. More people are joining now. Really sorry about that, folks. Okay, let's get back to where we were. So as I was saying, we have this unique mitzvah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, we have this this unique mitzvah of the mitzvah of tzedakah that requires one to do it with happiness and goodness of heart. And in fact, if you read the Rambam's description of this mitzvah, he even says something which is perhaps more radical than the Sefer HaChinuch. He says the following, Kol hanotein tzedakah la'ani b'sefer pedim ra'ot ufanav kivushot bakarka afilu natano elef zuvin. Anyone who gives tzedakah to a poor person with a scowl and causes him to be embarrassed, even if he gives him 1,000 zuvs, a lot of money, ibeid zechuto v'hifsida, has destroyed and lost any merit thereby. Remember before I suggested that the Sefer Achinuch is teaching us that if one does the mitzvah with a scowl, that one does not get the merit for the mitzvah? Well, this is exactly, precisely, what the Rambam says. He has destroyed and lost any merit. Rather, one should give cheerfully with happiness, and then he adds something that the Sefer Achinuch does not add. Elano tenlo b'seirapim yafot uvesimcha umit onein imo al tzarato. And with empathy for his plight. We are obligated to do our best to feel the suffering and to acknowledge and to become one with the suffering of the individual. And not only that, umidaber lo divrei tachanunim v'nechumim, and to speak words of comfort and consolation. So now this mitzvah is growing and growing and growing. Obviously, there's the obligation to deliver the funds, but the funds have to be delivered, as we said, b'simcha u'betov levav, with happiness and in a good heart. And not only that, we have to empathize with the poor person, and we have to share words of consolation and comfort with the poor person in order to properly fulfill this mitzvah. So you see, there's a lot that the Torah demands of us emotionally from doing this mitzvah. And we have to, and the truth is many of us, and this is just the, fortunately or unfortunately, the way we live, many of us don't have the opportunity even to give tzedakah directly to our poor person. And in fact, we're going to see a source that suggests that maybe that's even better. And we'll see why. Maybe it's even better to only give it through some sort of tzedakah fund. But we see that the purest way to do the mitzvah is if one does encounter a poor person, to give it with all of this emotional concern and sensitivity and empathy that is required. And outside the mitzvah of tzedakah, this is just a way that we should always interact with people, right? With empathy and with sensitivity and with concern for the way they're feeling, even if we're not performing specifically or directly the mitzvah of tzedakah. It's a beautiful way to live life, right? It's a beautiful way to live life, trying to understand other people's situations and trying to realize the situation they're in. And sort of take ourselves out of it a little and let them and their life sort of fill your conversation and fill your world. That's what's going on here with tzedakah. And that is, I think, appropriate in general when it comes to things ben adam l'chaviro, interpersonal things. Okay, let's continue a little bit more about our attitude. We have a beautiful source here that quotes a verse in Deuteronomy, another verse about tzedakah, that says, "Naton titein lo v'lo yare levavcha betitcha lo." Give him readily and have no regrets when you do so. Ki biglal zeh, for in return, the Lord will bless you. So here, the pasuk seems to be telling us that our attitude the attitude we have when we give tzedakah is what is going to define whether or not we will be rewarded for the mitzvah of tzedakah. And this is in fact what the Sefer HaIkarim of Yosef Albo says. He says, "V'chein nimtza hakatuv b'ya'ed hagimul al siyata tzedakah v'simcha." The Torah explicitly testifies to giving up tzedakah with simcha, with joy. Amar naton titein lo, the Torah says, you shall give him the lo yirei levavcha, and you shall have no regrets. B'titcha lo ki biglal zeh, because of the way we give tzedakah, yivarechcha Hashem Elokecha. If we give tzedakah with the right attitude, then God will bless us. Talah habracha, bivim lo yirei levavcha. the blessing, the reward for giving charity, as we saw in the Rambam, but here we see the source perhaps, is tied into lo yare levavcha, that we do not do so in a way where we show regret. So we have an illusion. Up until now, the Sefer HaChinuch has said it, the Ramban has said it, but here the Sefer HaIkarim teaches us that there's actually a pretty strong allusion to this idea in the Torah that God blesses us not only because of the charity we give, but the attitude that we have, when we give it. And that's the main first point I wanted to touch on, and that is tzedakah, as much as we think it's just about delivering something to a poor person, delivering money or some sort of assistance to a poor person, there's much more to it than that. There's our attitude, there's how we interact with the individual, and our ability to show empathy and speak words of comfort to the person in need. Okay, so I'm going to stop there for a moment and see if there are any comments or questions on what we've done so far. I think the most radical thing, again, is redefining this mitzvah of tzedakah as having everything to do with our attitude and doing it b'simcha u'b'tov levav, with joy and with a good heart. Okay, any comments or questions?
Hi, Rabbi. This is Debbie, Sari's sister. I just wanted
Who's to speaking? Ask if
Debbie.
Okay.
Sari's sister.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask whether the V'ahavta would be one of those examples where we're commanded to have that intent of heart. So that is more similar to the examples we're
yes.
giving with
yes.
intention.
Excellent, Debbie. So yeah, so you are raising something interesting. This mitzvah is not the only mitzvah wherein the Torah requires a specific emotion, like you said, v'ahavta l'racha kamocha, or v'ahavta d'Hashem elokecha, love your fellow or love your God. This is the only mitzvah where the obligation is happy, being happy about it. That's the difference. But you're right, there are other mitzvot where the Torah requires a certain emotion, being happy on Yom Tov, being happy on Shabbat, loving God, loving your fellow. Those are other examples. But I haven't come up with one where you was specifically, like I said, when you, blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, there's no obligation that the shofar blower be happy. Right, that's the specific. But you're right. You are 100% right. Okay, Dove or Carol? I'm not sure who that is, but
yeah, it strikes me that this has not been historically the traditional Jewish approach. If people don't give,
you mean happiness in general, or just no? About
yeah, if people don't give who have it, pressure is put on them by the community. And a matter of fact, it seems that they're obliged to give, and this is. Yeah, I remember my father was on the hit team for people who would pledge and not give. And he would go this has been consistent inside the Jewish community to say, if you've got it, you've got to give it, and to really pressure people to give it.
So, yes, Dove is correct. And another time I could give a shiur on whether or not one can be forced to give tzedakah. But that is not option A, right? That is, of course, your father did not want to go into that pharmacy and embarrass the pharmacist. I think you've told me that story, right? He only did it because he had to, right? Had the pharmacist been giving tzedakah like he should have, your father wouldn't. There wouldn't need to be a hit team, a hit squad, as you like to call it. So that's not option A, but it may be legitimate. Correct. It may be legitimate that we force certain mitzvot. That is true. But again, that's not what we call l'chatchila, right? That's not certainly what we're shooting for. Okay, Nitza, you had a comment? Just to unmute yourself.
Aren't we supposed to make simcha and Purim? Is that a mitzvah?
So the mitzvah, that's what the difference is, the mitzvah itself is to be happy on Purim. I'm looking for an example of where you're doing something else, and while you're doing that other thing, you're looking for, you have to be happy. The mitzvah itself, by the way, I'm not sure if there's a mitzvah to be happy on Purim. There's a mitzvah to do certain things on Purim, to give charity, to have a meal, to hear the Megillah, but I don't think there's an obligation to be happy on Purim. But there is a mitzvah to be happy on Yom Tov, but that's the mitzvah itself. But I'm talking about another action that when you do it requires simcha. Okay, great. Good question. Thank you,
Mitzvah. Rabbi, are you supposed to be simcha with the bride and the groom?
Right. Again, the essence of that, the mitzvah is just to be happy. I'm looking for an action where while you're doing the action, you're supposed to be happy. So the mitzvah of and by the way, you don't have to be happy. You could actually be in a miserable mood as long as you make the bride and groom happy. Meaning you could be really feeling terrible about yourself and really feeling lousy, but if you make the bride and groom feel happy, you have fulfilled the mitzvah. But with the mitzvah of tzedakah, not only do you have to make the poor person happy, you also have to do it with a happy heart. So
I have, can you hear me, Rabbi?
You should all join Ask the Beit Midrash, because maybe had you all joined, I would have had all these wonderful answers last night, and I wouldn't have woken up with a goose egg this morning. But all right, we're going to give Andrea the last word, because we have to move on.
Okay, I'm watching this on my phone, and so I don't have all the options available. But if you're giving tzedakah happily, and you can give it directly to the person, or even not necessarily, how extensive assistance or charitable actions do you have to give? Do you give it just money because they're poor, or do you money and you give them a job? Do you give them money and you give them things that
we will get to
cost?
That. Excellent, excellent question, Andrew. We're going to get to that. Hold on for a few minutes. Okay, let's move on. The same for Achinuch. We're not going to spend too much time on this. Reminds us that the best way to give charity is through a charity fund. Midine ha-mitzvah. Ma she'omru zichram levracha, she'ikar mitzvah zu li'tein ha-staka li'yad gabai she'yitnena l'mi she'tzarichla. That it's best to give the money through a treasurer or someone who's in charge of a charity fund who should distribute it to the one who needs it. Why is this important? That the person who's getting the tzedakah will not be embarrassed now every single time they see the person who gave them charity. So therefore, it's better to give it through a charity fund, and that solves the problem. I happen to have a charity fund, as you know, and this is really interesting because often people will say, thank you so much, Rabbi, and I will say, don't thank me. It is not my money. It's other people's money. I'm just the conduit to give it to you, and that is a beautiful way to do the mitzvah because now the person does not have any idea where the money comes from, and when they see the people who have given to the charity fund, you know, no one has any idea who it is. And also the giver does not embarrass him about it ever. Rather, this one does not know who gave it, and that one does not know for whom he received it. So the mitzvah of tzedakah, according to the Sefer Achinuch, is best performed anonymously when neither the giver or the receiver know each other. Just want to point out, in answer to Andrew's question, source number 13, okay, where the Rambam has his famous ladder of tzedakah, 8 levels of charity. We're not going to go through them all. I just want to show you the first one. There are 8 levels of tzedakah, each one greater than the other. The greatest level, higher than all the rest. Fortify a fellow Jew and give him a gift, a loan, form with him a partnership or find work for him until he is strong enough so that he does not need to ask others for sustenance. So what's really interesting is, according to the Rambam, the best way to give tzedakah is not to give tzedakah at all. Right? Because this is not tzedakah. A loan is not charity. A gift is not charity. A partnership is not charity. The best way to to help a poor person, I should say, is to make it so that they do not need tzedakah any longer. I actually saw this once with my own eyes when I was a yeshiva student in Israel. I was taken on a tour, a tzedakah tour, by a gentleman who ran a tzedakah organization. And he took us, because he wanted this to be anonymous, so he took us to help deliver some of the items that he was delivering and some of the money. But he didn't want to be the one who delivered it because he didn't want anyone to be embarrassed. And we were American students, so we were not going to be around that neighborhood anymore. And he said, at the end of the night, I'm going to give you a treat. And so we went to some poor neighborhoods in Jerusalem, and I remember delivering envelopes of money, knocking on the door and delivering envelopes of money to people. And I remember driving in a truck with space heaters and taking space heaters and lugging them up 4 or 5 flights of steps and knocking on a door and giving a family a space heater in the cold Jerusalem winter. And we did this for a couple of hours. And then at the end of the night, he took us to a catering facility where they were making Yerushalmi kugel. So raise your hand if you know what Yerushalmi kugel is. If you haven't raised your hand, you should definitely do this before you hit 120. It's one of the great, one of God's great gifts to the world, Yerushalmi kugel. And he took us to a catering facility. It was a Thursday night. And so they were up all night. This is in the middle of the night, 2 or 3 in the morning already. And they were making Yerushalmi kugel to be sold the next, you know, Friday morning for Shabbat meals. And we all got to eat our fill of Yerushalmi kugel. And he told us at the end that this catering job, and he introduced us to the owner, represents the top rung of Rambam's tshuva ladder, because he gave this man a loan 20 years ago to start a catering business. And now for the last 20 years, he's been supporting himself and his family. So that is what the Rambam means. Andrea, later, if you remind me, I'm happy to send you the list of the various rungs of charity. So the best way to give charity, notwithstanding that it's good to be empathetic and to give words of comfort, is to actually not interact with the person at all, because it could save embarrassment. But if one does, then one has to remember all the things that we said at the outset. I want to spend the next few minutes discussing the difference between chesed and tzedakah. Many of us may be familiar with the idea that chesed is better than tzedakah, right? And chesed is kindness, acts of kindness, and tzedakah is charity, giving someone, you know, an envelope of money or a space heater or something like that, right? And the reason why we may believe that chesed is greater than tzedakah is because we have a beautiful source. One of the most beautiful sources in our tradition is from the Tosefta, sort of a Talmudic vintage that didn't make it into the Talmud. It says as follows: tzedakah ugemilut chasadim shkulim keneged kol mitzvot shel Torah. Giving charity and doing acts of kindness are equal to all the other mitzvot in the Torah. They both are awesome. However, Ella, shehat tzedakah b'chayin, you can only give charity to the living. Ugimulut chasadim b'chayim uvametim, but you can do kindness for the living and the dead. We do kindness to the dead, as you've often heard me say at funerals, by participating in the burial of the dead. Tzedakah ba'aniyim, one can only give charity to the poor. Gimulut chasadim ba'aniyim uva'ashirim, but we can do kindness to rich people or to poor people, right? A rich person, I don't know, doesn't have a coat and they're cold. So I can lend them my coat to borrow. That's chesed. Or they need a place to stay for Shabbos, right? That's a chesed. That's a kindness I could do even for a rich person. But tzedakah, by definition, I can only do for a poor person. Tzedakah bin mamono, and I can only fulfill the mitzvah of charity with my money. Gilur chesedin bin mamono uvegufo, but I could do chesed with funds or with, I don't know, helping someone cross the street or giving someone a lift or visiting someone in the hospital, right? I could do chesed with more than my money. So if you read this, first of all, it sounds like chesed is on a much greater level than tzedakah. And it says explicitly, tzedakah is only with aniim, right? Tzedakah is only with the poor. Okay, that is what the Tosefta says. But now I want you to listen carefully to what the Sefer Achinuch says and how he expands, beautifully expands, the idea of tzedakah. He says as follows, V'atabini, we should know, by the way, the Sefer Achinuch wrote this book for his son. He said his son had too much extra time on Shabbat afternoon, and instead of playing marbles or whatever the equivalent is these days with his friends, he said, I'll write him a book about all the mitzvot in the Torah, and then he'll have something to do on Shabbos afternoon. So he wrote him this book. So he said, V'ata b'ni, and now my son, al techashev she'inyan mitzvah tzedakah lo yerak ba'ani. A direct challenge to the source we just saw. And my son, do not think that the commandment of charity applies only for the poor who does not have bread and clothing. I'll read this in the English to save time. Since also for the very wealthy can this commandment of charity apply. Seems to be saying that I can fulfill the mitzvah of charity even to the wealthy. How? For example, the wealthy person who is in a place where they do not recognize him and he needs a loan. Or even a wealthy person in his own city and in the place where he is recognized sometimes need because of sickness or because of another circumstance, that which you have in your hand and you cannot find it elsewhere. The equivalent would be you're in a restaurant and there's a rich person there and they lost their wallet. And so you, pay for their meal, right? That's a person that has the money to pay for it on their own, but they physically at that moment, they can't. Or even a wealthy person in his own city in a place where he is recognized sometimes needs because of sickness or because of another circumstance, that which you have in your hand, and he cannot find it elsewhere. This is also included in the laws of charity without a doubt. So he's expanding charity to loaning money to a rich person or helping a rich person out of a tough spot, whatever the person may need. Since the Torah always chooses acts of kindness and commands to fulfill the will of the creatures, the children of the covenant, in the manner that we can. And then he says this beautiful idea. And the principle of the matter is that anyone that benefits his fellow, listen to this, whether with money or food or any deeds, even with words of consolation, is included in the commandment of charity. Before, when we had talked about words of consolation, it sounded like if I give someone money and give words of consolation, then I fulfilled the mitzvah of charity. But here he's saying, I don't even have to give money. Let's say I don't have the money, but I give the person words of consolation. That's tzedakah, right? That's tzedakah. So according to this understanding, we have expanded the, of course, this has nothing to do with the U.S. Building Fund. The U.S. Building Fund, the shul will not get built with nice words, right? The shul will not get built by saying, we love U.S. The shul will only get built with, here's money and we love U.S. Just want to make that clear. But it seems to be saying that if someone does not have the funds, and they, maybe even if they do, and they speak words of consolation to someone, That is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzedakah is included. It's explicit in the Sefer Achinuch. Is bichlal, here it is, bichlal mitzvah hatzedakah hi. That is included in the mitzvah of tzedakah. Uscharo harbei ma'od. And his reward is very, very great. So we could fulfill the mitzvah of charity with words, it sounds like, according to the Sefer Achinuch. Why are these words of consolation so, so important? I'll just read you one suggestion. This comes from Rabbi Avraham Yaffin, or Jaffin. You see, he lived from 1887 to 1970. He says something beautiful. He's quoting the Gemara in Masechet Bava Batra that says, Kol hanotein pruta la'ani mitbarech b'sheish brachot. Anyone who gives a coin to a poor person is blessed with seven blessings. V'hamefaiso ba'achat esre. And if someone gives them words of consolation, they are blessed with 11 brachot. Why? Again, isn't it only about the person is hungry and now I gave them money so they can go buy a meal? Isn't that what the point is? And so Rav Avraham Yafin says as follows: Yoter chashuv adam mikolu hatikva shelo. This is so beautiful. The most important, or maybe I would think here doesn't mean important, vital. The most vital thing for a person is hope. Hatikva shelo. Kol od sheyesh lo tikva misugal la'avor kol hamashberim. As long as someone has hope, they are able to survive any type of suffering or any type of trauma. Aval im ne'evda tikvato az avad shivro. If they lose hope, then they lose everything. Ukamosha katuv hachacham, and he quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, hatikva notenet lo koach litkaber al machlato. Hope gives one strength to beat their illness. About dicho nefesh, depression, ole lo b'chayav, costs you your life. Kazot matzim divrei chazal, this is what the rabbis said when they meant you are blessed more when you give someone charity and offer words of consolation because you are giving them hope. And I just thought that was so beautiful, right? Again, even outside of giving someone charity, right? Kind words, consoling words, hopeful words, right, are so important in terms of being able to overcome difficult times. You hear this so often when people are sick, that people with a hopeful bedside manner and friends who come in with messages of hope and the possibility of healing really, really help a person have the mental strength and maybe even the physical strength to carry on through their illness or through whatever challenge they are having. We should really remember. There's one thing that I would hope you would take away from this is this idea: is to always be the hopeful person, always give someone else a sense of hope, a sense of belief, a sense of some positive outcome. Now, of course, you have to be careful, be very careful not to over-exaggerate it. And not to tell someone something that's not true when they're sick. That's also very, very important. But the notion of being the person who is the positive person in someone's life is such an important midah and such an important role that we can play for people. Okay, I want to. Sari, go ahead. Unmute yourself, please.
Listening to this, it sounds like there's chesed and tzedakah are very much intertwined, and that it's hard to differentiate one from the other.
It is true. One could make the claim, I think, that tzedakah is a type of chesed. Visiting the sick is a type of chesed. Gladdening a groom and a bride is a type of chesed. The difference is that tzedakah has its own line item in the Torah, right? Specific verses that indicate that it's a separate mitzvah. But conceptually, I would say there is overlap. Yes. Okay. I want to just I'll do one thing outside and one more thing inside, and then we'll be done. What's the best way to give tzedakah? Meaning, is it best to give a lump sum, or is it best to give small amounts of tzedakah at a time? This is actually a machloket rishonim. We're not going to get into it, but this is a debate. Some say it's best to give one big sum of charity, and that's where God gives us the reward when we give as much as we can at one shot. However, the Rambam has a famous position that it's actually better to give small amounts at a time. And the what is at the heart of their debate is, what's the purpose of this mitzvah? It seems like if the purpose of the mitzvah is just to help, then it's better to give it all at once to help the needy. But the Rambam indicates that the purpose of tzedakah and the purpose of a lot of interpersonal relationships is not only to help the other person, but it's to help us develop a certain type of character. So if every day, that's why we send our kids with a penny to school every day, because we want them to develop a character of giving. It would be much different if at the end of the day, I wrote a $100 check to my kindergartner and said, hey, give this to your mower, give this to your teacher. That would not teach that child to be charitable. But if every single day before they leave the house in the morning, I say, here's a penny, here's a nickel, put it in the pushka at school, every single day it's reinforced in that kid that we have to give tzedakah. So the Rambam says it's just not kids, it's also adults. But the Rambam is important in, there's a debate the philosophers talk about act morality and agent morality, right? Act morality is, the act is good, and that's all I need. Others say, no, we want agent morality. We want the people to develop a good character. It's not enough to do good things. We want people to develop good character. So the Rambam says it's better to give a little tzedakah at a time because that will affect agent morality. While the other school of thought is, no, really it's about act morality. Let's just get the job done. And finally, and I'll open this up to questions. There is no bracha on the mitzvah of charity, right? If someone, you know, logs onto a website and puts their credit card number in or writes a check or even gives someone on the street something to eat, right? We do not say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech olam asher kiddushanu mitzvah tzivanu al mitzvah tzedakah. You don't do that. Why? Are we just a very important mitzvah, as we just learned. Lots of facets. Mitzvah d'oraita. We do not make a bracha on this mitzvah. Anyone care to suggest a reason why? I'm sorry. Can no one hear me? Any suggestions? Put in the chat. Raise your hand. Ellie, just unmute yourself. And then Denise.
Is it anything to do with the fact that it's person to person? Like, no, it's not directly.
Okay. So Ellie is pointing out that we generally do not make mitzvot on Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. We do not make brachot on Ben Adam L'Chaveiro mitzvot. We do not make brachot on interpersonal commandments. That is true. Why not?
Well,
you're right, Ellie. But so this is, it just expands the question, meaning it's no longer just a question on tzedakah. It's a question on all interpersonal mitzvot. So why not? Denise?
Well, I don't know, but maybe it's that when we say a bracha, we're thanking God for whatever we're saying the bracha for the bread, for the wine, for the day, whatever. But here, it's we're the agent. We are the one who is initiating this effort. And so God isn't initiating it. We are.
Beautiful. Okay. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We're going to get that in a second. That's the second answer. Just want to remind everyone, there are different types of mitzvot. When I make a bracha over an apple,
come on, man.
I'm thanking God for the apple. When I make a bracha over shaking my lulav and etrog, I am not thanking God for the lulav and etrog. I am indicating that I am doing this mitzvah because God told me to do the mitzvah. There are different types of mitzvot. But Denise, you are onto something, so hold on to that thought. Let's first start in the Middle Ages, and we'll come back to someone who is a little more current.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry, Scott. I keep muting you by accident. Go ahead.
Well, there's no particular shear for giving tzedakah either. Is that also relevant for not saying a bracha?
Interesting. So Scott's saying there's no... Well, we do have the notion of maaser, and there was no bracha for that either. Yeah. But it could be right. It could be. That's a good suggestion. There's no minimum amount, perhaps. Yeah. Okay, great. Okay, let's look first at the Rashba. He says as follows. Famous medieval commentary on the Talmud and author of Responsa. Source number 30. Ela leva'er lecha al zu mitzvah al ezu mitzvah mevarchin al siyatav al ezu ein mevarchin. I'm going to teach you generally on which mitzvah we perform a blessing, which ones we don't. Da ki kol mitzvah she'ev sharlo bigmara siyatav asod beino leven atzmo ela tzricha acher imo ein mevarchin rov. Here, the Rashba gives us a very important klal, a very important general principle. Any mitzvah that requires someone else besides me to fulfill it, I don't make a bracha on it. Right? I shake my own lulav, I like my own Shabbos candles, I like my own chanuk candles, I go into the sukkah myself, but I need a poor person to fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah. So since the mitzvah is not totally relying on myself in order to be fulfilled, I do not make a bracha on it. He says, kagon tzedakah, ubikar cholim. We don't make a bracha when we go visit the sick. We don't make a bracha when we give charity. She'im ein lekabel, o she'ein erotze lekabel, v'chein bikar cholim, she'im cholel levakro, o she'ein erotze bikuro. Let's say the person doesn't want your money. Or let's say the person doesn't want your visit. Right? Since it depends on somebody else, there is no bracha on it. A general principle. A bracha is only made when I, myself, am in total control of the performance of the mitzvah. That's point number one. Point number two is very, very much along the lines of what Denise said. And it's mentioned by the Sri Deish, Vichil Yaakov Weimer. I'm not going to say it inside. He says the fact of the matter is that we should want to give tzedakah even if God had not commanded us to give tzedakah. And therefore, we don't make a bracha on it because we don't want to come across as if we're saying, oh, the only reason I'm helping you, poor person, is because God told me to. But had God not told me to, you would have been on your own. Right? We don't want that to be the message. And that's what a blessing is. We're only going to sit outside in the 80 and 90 degree weather next week and eat our meals because God told us to, not because we love the humidity, right? So, but I would hope that we give tzedakah because we feel an obligation to help people in need, even if God would not obligate us to. So we don't make a blessing saying we recognize, God, that you've commanded us to do the mitzvah, which is what the blessing says, because the hope is, again, you would have done it anyway. That's why there's no blessing on the mitzvah of honoring your parents. We would hope that we would do that anyway, or visiting the sick, or all of these other type of mitzvah. So that answers the question of that. And again, I think it's a beautiful way for us to conclude on this point. The Sri Deish's point is that tzedakah should be something that is inherent in us. It should be automatic. We should want to help those who need our help without being told to, without having to say, Asher kiddishanu mitzvotav, that God had sanctified us and commanded us to do this. We should want to do this on our own. Like we talked about agent morality. And as we heard Sari talk about at the beginning of the class, Zev was very connected to this mitzvah, almost as if it was something natural to him. He didn't need to be told to do it. He sought after opportunities to give it. He's a perfect example of why there's no bracha on this mitzvah, because it's something that should be inherent in all of us. And again, it is my deepest prayer that in the merit of our study together tonight, that the merit should go to Zev, that his neshama should have an aliyah. We hopefully now know a little bit more about this mitzvah, feel more connected, and we'll perform this mitzvah. And by performing this mitzvah, because of our learning tonight, that merit will be credited to Zev. And I want to thank you all for joining, and thank Sari and Scott for sponsoring the shiur. I'm going to turn it back over to Sari, who I think wanted to make some final comments.
Oh, I thank you, Rabbi. It was a terrific shiur, and I think Zev would have liked it.
Thank you.
He would enjoy it very much.
One thing that
came to me, and it just is a riff on something he had said about something entirely different, was when we give tzedakah, we're kind of emulating God, because basically we are living with what he's giving us. And so we're just sharing, moving that along to the next person.
Yeah, you know, the idea, the idea of emulating God is a fundamental idea in Judaism called Mahu Asata, just as God is, so should we be. And the Talmud says, God clothed the naked, Adam and Eve, we should clothe the naked. God visited the sick when he visited Abraham, we should visit the sick. God buried the dead, buried Moshe, we should bury the dead. So this notion of, he's correct, this notion of imitating God is really very connected to all of these acts of charity and kindness that we do for each other. Absolutely.
Anyway, thank you everyone for coming, and thank you. I'm so glad my sisters and brother came, and my friends, and, you know, thank you for doing this in Zev Zichus. So, thank you.
Have a good night, everybody, and have a Chag Sameach, a wonderful and joyous Sukkot. Look forward to seeing those of you who I will see. And for those who have seen and met for the first time on this class, it was nice to have you and nice to study with you. And have a wonderful evening. Again, thank you, Sari and Scott. This is really a wonderful way to honor Zev's memory. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Good night.
Everybody.